Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, your host, and today we're going to answer the question, how can we take advantage of reading-writing relationships? This is what I refer to as a blast from the past. That means that this appeared as a blog entry a while back. In this case, it posted first on February 22nd, 2020 on the Shanahan on Literacy website. It is being reposted on March 21st, 2026. This is the first time this particular presentation has been a podcast, and so this is an original. The major update to this piece from the original version is the inclusion of a research reference list, which you can get if you go and see the printed version of this on the website. I'll tell you more about that later. Only one of the studies that is included in this list would not have been available to me in 2020. So for the most part, this is the same information. Aside from that, adding that reference list and a few minor wording changes, this is the same blog entry that originally generated 26 comments. And again, you'll be able to get a hold of those if you'd like to. This presentation was set off by a teacher question. This teacher wrote to me. She says, everyone says reading and writing are connected, but our school focuses on only reading. We have a reading program. We don't have a writing program. We test the students 3 times a year in reading, but never in writing. Writing isn't even on our report card, though I guess it's part of language arts. What should we be doing with writing? Well, here's my response. You came to the right place. I think your school is making a big mistake not giving sufficient attention to writing. When I was a teacher, my primary grade kids wrote every day. When I became a researcher, I conducted studies on how reading and writing are related. When I was director of reading for Chicago, I required 30 to 45 minutes per day of writing in all classrooms. There are many good reasons why someone should learn to write. Many jobs, mine included, require it, and often jobs that require a lot of writing pay better, though I'm sure many nurses would disagree with that last point. Nurses do a lot of writing. Writing is also an important form of self-expression. Just as there are people who play musical instruments, dance, sing, paint, knit, cook, and so on, there are many who use writing as a form of self-expression, and a form particularly useful for preserving memory. All those are terrific reasons for teaching writing. I'm going to guess that the reason your school is ignoring writing is because someone figured doing this might help raise reading scores. I say that's a mistake because writing can also be a path to higher reading achievement. So your kids and your school are really missing out. Instead of promoting higher reading scores, your school is probably squashing them a bit. So there are lots of reasons for teaching writing, and this entry will focus on only one of those, how writing can help kids become measurably better readers. Now, research has identified 3 important avenues that reading and writing are connected, and all 3 deserve a place in the curriculum. The first of these ways that reading and writing are connected is that reading and writing draw upon the same body of knowledge and skills. If you want to be a reader, you must perceive the separable phonemes within words, recognize the most common spelling patterns, link meanings to the words in text, vocabulary, understand the grammar well enough to permit comprehension, trail cohesive links accurately, and recognize and use discourse structure. Texts are organized, and recognizing this improves comprehension. Background knowledge plays a role in reading comprehension too, so the more that readers know about their world, the better they may do in reading. Yep, learning to read requires all that and more. But think about it. That knowledge is integral to writing too. If kids can't hear the phonemes, match sounds and letters, and remember spelling patterns, they won't be able to get words onto the page. The same can be said about all those other linguistic and content features of text needed for reading. That means when you're teaching the foundations of reading, you're also teaching the foundations of writing. It is the same knowledge base, and yet they play out differently because readers and writers start from different places. And that's a good thing, because what it means is you have to learn the same information two different ways, which strengthens learning. A reader looks at an author's words and starts decoding, matching the phonology in their heads to the author's orthography. The writer thinks about the words he or she wants to write, thinks about the phonemes, and tries to remember what letters or patterns will represent those best. So in one case, you're going from orthography to phonology, and the other, you're going from phonology to orthography. The same thing happens with the other elements too. One starts with ideas and turns them into written language. The other marches in the opposite direction. My advice about knowledge: teach the skills that you teach now, but then think hard about them. How would kids use that skill in reading and writing? For example, when you teach letter sounds, you should be teaching kids to use those sounds to sound out words. It's a pathetic phonics lesson that includes no decoding practice. But you also should have students trying to write words in such a lesson. Many programs include dictation, and I think that's great. I'm partial to invented spelling because it provides such extensive and supportive practice with the sounds. I've got in the written version of this, you can see a couple of sentences that a young child tried to write. And I'm going to read it to you. I'll describe the spelling so that you have a real sense of why I think this is beneficial. The youngster writes, "Hermit crabs live in shells. Sometimes they live on the beach." So very, very simple piece of writing. Hermit crabs is spelled H-E-R-M-E-T, and crabs, K-R-A-B-S. So hermit crabs, and those are both capitalized, live in shells. Live is L-I-V. Shells is S-H-E-L-S. The in is perfect. There's no period at the end of that. It just launches into the next part of it. Sometimes is represented as two words, some, S-U-M, times, T-I-M-S. They live on the beach, they, T-H-A, live. The first time it was L-I-V, this time it's L-E-V. You can see the youngsters thinking about the sound, trying to understand it. On the beach, on the is perfect, beach, B-E-C-H. Hermit crabs live in shells, sometimes they live on the beach. This piece of writing didn't take long to produce, but to do it, the student had to try to analyze 38 phonemes. He got most of them reasonably right. The most ambitious phonemic awareness lessons usually would not have individual children practicing anything like 38 phonemes. So encouraging this kind of writing is really smart teaching, gives kids a lot of practice. You can do the same kind of thing with older students when you teach informational text structure, for instance. For reading, that would usually entail teaching kids how problem-solution texts are organized and then having them read such text to practice using that awareness to gin up their comprehension. That can be made even more effective if you then have kids composing their own problem-solution texts. And what a great opportunity to review science or social studies content at the same time, not only writing, but building knowledge of the world. So that shared knowledge is one way that reading and writing are connected. The second connection is that reading and writing are communicative processes. Studies show that writers think about their audiences and what they need to tell their readers to communicate effectively. That might not be surprising, but there are also studies showing the value of having readers think about authors and the author's perspectives. This is emphasized in educational standards and is essential for reading history and for certain approaches to literary texts too. Writing approaches that involve kids in reading and responding to each other's text have been found to be beneficial in improving the quality of kids' writing. There are any number of ways that teachers can facilitate this kind of sharing that heightens student awareness that texts are written by somebody and that can sensitize young authors to the kinds of things that may confuse or entice their readers. Writing conferences, writers' workshops, revision circles are just a few ways to accomplish this. On the reading side, it can help to read texts in which authors have a strong voice or style. It is, for example, terrific when you can get kindergartners to recognize Dr. Seuss books as Dr. Seuss books, or when third graders can distinguish a Beverly Cleary from a Barbara Cooney with their eyes closed. I like to have these students write imaginary biographies of such authors, based only on the content and tone of the text we're reading. Of course, as kids get older, having them read primary source text sets in their social studies classes and then evaluating the trustworthiness of this material based on who the authors are and when they recorded their ideas. Basically, being an author provides students insights into what's happening offstage. That is, what the author is doing back there behind the curtain, which can boost one's critical reading ability. Likewise, being a thoughtful reader gives writers insights into what their readers might need. The third way that reading and writing can connect is through combined use. Reading and writing can be used together to accomplish goals. Most research on combined uses have emphasized two specific academic goals, so I'm going to limit my comments to those school activities. Specifically, studying or learning from text and composing synthesis papers, like school reports. In the first of these, writing is added to reading to try to increase an understanding of the text or to improve memory for the information from the text. Research reports that writing about what one is trying to learn from text is beneficial, and this benefit is more likely to be derived the better that students can write. That means don't just add writing to what you're doing with reading comprehension, but teach students how to do that kind of writing. Often when students read for a test, they read and reread and hope for the best. Reading and writing summaries, analyses, critiques, or syntheses of the information has a powerful and positive impact on learning. We should be teaching students how to use writing in concert with reading to improve their comprehension, to increase their knowledge, and to, well, let's face it, conquer academia. For the second emphasis of this research, they focus on synthesis writing. Teaching students how to collect information appropriately from text sources enables easier and more effective syntheses. Instead of just having kids write in a report with three sources or something like that, guide them to plan a paper with a particular purpose or structure, and then help them to find and read the text in ways that will facilitate this writing. An example, if students are to write some kind of a comparison of sources, providing a summarization guide that allows them to collect information from the text in a way that would facilitate comparison makes sense. Perhaps you'd have the kids charting ideas from the different texts and whether they agree and disagree on those points. Reading the texts in that way should enhance both comprehension as well as the writing that is to follow. Gotta tell you, too many school principals think that ignoring and even discouraging writing will free up time better devoted to higher reading scores. Too many teachers are anxious about writing because of the limited preparation they receive in this area. Research suggests that neither reading nor writing should be allowed to take up more than 60% of the ELA time, which in most classes would mean there's a need to ramp up, increase the amount of emphasis on writing. Having kids write in every day, in any and all the ways described here, can be beneficial both to the writing and to their reading. Not doing so leaves reading achievement points on the table. As Vivian says in Pretty Woman, big mistake. And that'll be my final word for today on reading-writing relationships, though as a long career has shown, it probably won't be my last word on it altogether. As noted at the beginning of this, if you'd like a written copy of this podcast, go to the Shanahan on Literacy website on March 21st. How can we take advantage of reading-writing relationships? Will be posted there, and from then on, this has 7 research references that you'd be able to get, and that should do it for today. Let me take a moment to thank our sound engineer, Greg Johnson, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you up the road a piece.